Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Reel It In. I am your host, Nick Sanchez, and I am welcomed here by my co-host and little brother, Gabriel Ray. Gabe, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. It's been a while, but we're back.
We are back, and I'm excited to be here because this is not only our Christmas episode, which we are recording on Christmas Day.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and say Merry Christmas to
Merry Christmas,
out
everyone.
There. I hope you had a wonderful holiday.
Feliz Navidad.
And a Feliz Navidad. And those voices that you heard are actually why we're very excited for today. Because we are recording our first episode with guest appearances on the new equipment. So
yes.
Without further ado, let's introduce our
we've
guests.
Heard Tall before. We've had
we
Tall
have.
Before.
We
in
have.
Endgame, I believe.
Yes. So yes. Our two guests today, we have Mr. Ta Dao, who is back with us.
What's up, man?
Welcome,
love
buddy.
It.
How you doing?
Love it.
How you doing, Mr. Tall?
Doing good.
Doing good?
Got a beer.
Yes. Glad to have you back and in the flesh. So thank you so much, sir, for being here. And our second guest tonight is our first time having her on the show.
Yeah.
But we are very excited to have her here is Miss Alex Nance.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Got a marg in hand. Feeling great.
There we go.
So yes, you're very comfortable.
The drinks flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exciting. We just got back from watching the movie that in which we were doing for episode 8, but I don't know. I feel like we should, I don't know, maybe tell a story, maybe
open it up in a different way,
a little different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do that. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Episode 8, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, out now in theaters. That is our episode 8 that we are bringing to you here on Reel It In. Guys, let's how we normally do the show is we usually go into general thoughts, which is just obviously spoiler free for those people who haven't, or those listeners who haven't necessarily seen the movie as of yet, but are interested in it. It's just to kind of give our feedback on how we feel based off of what we have seen. So I'm gonna open it up to general thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second time we watched it, you and myself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the beginning, the very first time I saw it, I think I liked it a little bit more. And the second time, it was kind of taking a hit with some little flaws here and there that still kind of I wanted a little bit more. That being said, I still think it was a fun movie. Like, it was a fun movie to watch. It was very entertaining. The visuals were crazy. And just the acting was good. The plot was but definitely a fun watch.
I thought it was really good. I mean, but I'm kind of a sucker for, like, the Disney, like, the feel-good, like, yeah, like, when they're doing the fight.
Like, we did it. Like, we did it.
Yeah. Like, I'm a sucker for all that, and I feel like there was a lot of those, you know?
Those moments.
Yeah.
So. First off, I think they killed it with the trailers. Mulan, shout out. March
27, 2020. Dude, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you with Mulan.
Representing the Asians. Moving on to the actual movie. I thought it was a good movie. Unlike Nick and Gabe, I didn't have the perspective this time around, kind of nitpicking it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like Alex, where it's my first time. I'm taking in the spectacle of it.
Yeah,
lots happening. It's the end of a 42-year-old movie series.
Yeah.
So I was just taking it all in. I thought it was a really good movie. My only gripe, I just felt pacing was just slightly off. I felt some parts they try to fit in too many storylines. Mm-hmm. Some parts they could have done a little bit more. But overall, way better than Last Jedi.
100%.
I still think that Last Jedi is worse than Phantom Menace. Because yeah, Phantom Menace still gave us the Duel of Fates song and Qui-Gon versus Obi-Wan. Or Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul.
Yeah. I would arguably say that The Last Jedi is probably the worst movie
I think that's
in the saga.
Yeah, in my 100%. Yeah.
Even worse than Attack of Clones. Attack of Clones was...
That's one of Nick's favorites.
That's one of my favorites. I liked that time era of the storyline. I liked... that heavy presence of the Jedi.
He likes Count Dooku a lot.
I love Count Dooku as a villain.
Don't get me wrong, same here. Like, I love the Clone Wars TV show. Like, I love the Clone Wars, like, the whole, like, that whole time period. In terms of the 9 movies, though, I just felt Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace were one of the weaker ones, but Last Jedi...
Last Jedi?
No. Now, Last Jedi is bottom of the barrel.
I was like, I don't think
Rian
I'll ever
Johnson,
see it again.
What were you doing? Like,
yeah, I don't think I'll ever watch that ever again.
Like, don't get me wrong, it made a lot of money, but like, it was just so bad. And I think the negative was that this movie, J.J. Abrams had to kind of make up for it or give a little bit more explanation. So that's why pacing was off. So I don't blame it. Like, that's why overall I enjoyed the movie. And I have nothing against it.
For sure. Yeah. I had to kind of fill in the holes that episode 8 didn't really... Mm-hmm. It created, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, by no means do I... the first time I saw this movie, I did come out of the movie enjoying it. Yeah. I did come out of the movie, you know, I really thought they did a really good job. And then, of course, the second time go around, you start seeing things and have different feelings about certain scenes and certain scenarios within the movie. And so, you know, when I got out of the movie, I thought this movie, I mean, I was blown out of the water with this movie. I really thought this movie was like a 9.
He gave it a 9.
I gave it a 9. And I hardly ever give movies that high of a rating. You know, and I know I'm kind of skipping ahead. I don't want to go too much into what I'm feeling now as far as a rating. But I do really think, you know, the second time go around, I do agree with you, Todd, that the pacing of the movie was a little bit slow. But I thought they did a really good job plot-wise trying to clean up some of those holes throughout the trilogy of these 7, 8, and 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But anyway, okay, so that being said, anything else that we want to touch on? Honestly, I do want to touch on one thing that I was very impressed with this movie. The CGI.
With Princess Leia?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
It looked good. Amazing. Yeah, she looked real.
I don't know what kind of tech. I'm assuming it's the same type of technology they used with, what was it, episode 7?
No, it was Rogue One that used
it. Oh, it was Rogue One.
That used it for some commander. I don't know his name specifically, but right. Yeah.
Wait, I forgot she was dead.
She was dead.
Well, yeah. No, the good thing was, like, she filmed some of the scenes, so that's correct. Why they were able to get some of the image of her as older, so that's why they were able to implement it more, but, like, just overall, I think the one thing that the Star Wars franchise has been really good at is practical effects. And I'm still amazed by it. Like, in a movie series where it's about fantasy, sci-fi, like, it's infinite imagination, the fact that they can implement so many practical effects in that kind of movie, when most you know, people would just CGI the crap out of it. Even then, the rendering on their CGI still looked very real.
Yeah.
Like, it looked believable. Nothing was, you know. So, I think visually, like I said, I called the movie, like, a spectacle. Like, it's just, it's a lot to take in, but, like, it's one hell of a ride.
The visuals are just, even just in its own, like, if you don't like the plot, if you don't like the characters, the visuals and all the stuff that, like, the technology that goes into the movie, it's just, like, pleasant to look at. Like, the settings and everything. It's just, it's pretty great.
Yeah, definitely a really good job. The acting,
the acting's really good.
They're professionals. The acting, I have no issues there, except for one person.
Is it, what's his name? Orbega?
It's Finn.
I knew you were
what's his
say
name?
Finn.
John? What's his name?
John Boyega. Yeah.
Boyega. Finn, to me, is the corny part of, like, the Disney film.
But I don't think that's his fault as an actor.
Yeah.
I think that's a character development.
That's
part.
A character development. I think he's actually a good actor.
Yeah, because think about it. Like, with Finn, like, in the last movie, they tried him and Rose having a thing. This one, in the beginning of this one, they introduced another storyline.
All types of stuff.
And then at the end of the movie, they introduced another storyline. Mm-hmm. And so you have Finn, one character. And if we look back into what I was telling Gabe earlier, was you look at all the marketing for Force Awakens, and you look at you watch the first 45 minutes to an hour of the movie.
Exactly.
It focuses so much on Finn.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like they tried to cram too many storylines into him. If they would have just streamlined it a little bit or take some of that filler out, he'd be a more likable character. But I felt like one thing that this movie did was they saturated his development. They just added too much.
It tried to like put all these different aspects on where it could go as a character that it kind of just diminished what he would be. Like, it was kind of like he was trying to figure out what it was going to stick.
Yeah.
And it just never stuck. It was just like, where do we want to go with the character?
It just diminishes value overall in terms of development.
But I think the actor himself is... Yeah. I think he's a good actor.
I do say in terms of development, the one that they handled really well was Poe.
Mm-hmm. You like Poe?
I like Poe.
I like Kylo Ren too. Like, as far as character development.
I've always loved Kylo Ren.
I don't know if I've loved Kylo Ren at all times, but definitely... Yeah. Looking back at the past couple movies and into this one and how he acts, I fell in love with Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Specifically in this movie, Adam Driver is a really good actor.
He is.
And just the things that he had to overcome, we'll get into that more in the spoilers. It touched me. I think it touches most people on like good and bad.
My only complaint about Kylo Ren, they have so much more to go off of and they didn't. It felt a little rushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's my only complaint, but how they ended his story arc, amazing. Poe's was exactly how they kind of set it up to be. Like, as we all know, he just started off as this reckless guy in the beginning.
Yeah.
Hot shot, dude. The way he developed and so ended annoying. The series is amazing. Exactly. It ended perfectly.
But then again, like, The Last Jedi, like, he didn't really... I feel like that's kind of a wash of a movie.
Yeah.
So it's hard to... Like, the whole movie, like, you really don't have to watch The Last Jedi to watch episode 9 to, like, get the whole premise of the movie.
Yeah.
So, like, they lost character development and seems rushed with Kylo Ren now because of what they did in the past.
That's exactly what we were talking about driving
here. Oh, really?
Yeah, we were literally talking about I had said that, you know, they didn't do anything in the last movie as far as, you know, really where, and I don't want to get too much into spoilers right now, but really, you know, Kylo Ren should have been feeling some sort of wishy-washy, you know,
unease towards,
you know, the dark side or towards the Sith in The Last Jedi in order for us to get this whole kind of, you know, coming around circle of where he comes in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in The Last Jedi, it just barely scratched the surface, and in this movie, they clawed their way into it, and what happens is you have a rushed storyline. If they would have fleshed it out more in Last Jedi, you can extract way more out of it in this movie.
And you could do different things, right? Because exactly, now you're using screen time to tell this story that you could have told in the last movie.
Well, because they used Last Jedi to kind of like set up this whole imbalance that Kylo Ren has. When Force Awakens already did a really good job of that, you know, like Last Jedi should have just moved on. But I think overall, as a trilogy, one thing I did appreciate was the continuity of it. Just one thing that the prequels didn't really do is like they jumped years, so many years. So like, you know, like first one just starts off Separatists, you know, and then this the beginning of the formation of the Republic. Then you skip a few years later in Clone Wars, and then. In Clone Wars, from Clone Wars to Revenge of the Sith, you skip the entire Clone Wars and you just get introduced Grievous and these new characters, which there's no backstory. One thing that this trilogy did was it's very continuous. You know, it flowed, like, in terms of timeline-wise. It was easy to keep up with. Overall, it was a good unified trilogy.
Uh-huh.
I would say The Last Jedi kind of, like, tainted its rep.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit.
Yeah, you know? I think so too. Yeah.
So, that being said, let's go ahead and move forward as far as ratings. How we typically end our general thoughts is giving the movie a rating. Typically, we go on a scale of 1 to 10. Or, actually, we do
A's and B's.
We do letters.
It kind of just depends. It really just depends on how we're feeling. Yeah, that day. It's not
how we're feeling.
I'm feeling numbers.
Y'all want to do number?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do number. I say you and I go first, because we saw it twice.
Okay.
But then kinda...
You know what? No, because my view is different, and I don't want to influence their rating. So okay. I want you guys to...
Are y'all ready?
Yeah, no, I'll go. I give it an 8.4, 8.5.
Okay.
Right around there. Again, my main reasoning for that is it's a visual spectacle. I'd go see it just like for all the work that they put into it. It's a wonderful crafted movie The only thing I'm just going to give it a little nick for is pacing and storyline. Just some parts felt a little too forced. Some parts felt a little too rushed. Some parts were a little too slow. But overall, as a cohesive movie, it worked. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It's something I would definitely see again.
Yeah.
I'd give it a solid, like, 8.7,
8.8. Dang, almost a 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost a 9.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was a lot of, the most of the film was, like, a lot of action and stuff.
It was.
I love, like, all that, like, all the lightsaber scenes and stuff. And
we'll talk about that later. Yeah. There's a specific scene that I want to specifically talk about. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But there were definitely some stuff that I was like, you know? And yeah. the pace was definitely, like, kind of weird at some points. Like, it would be super fast at some points, but then at the same time, they were trying to wrap everything up and, like, end the thing. And so, it was all just kind of, I don't know, it was all just kind of together weird.
But yeah.
The film itself, like, watching the action and the scenes and stuff were really, really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. So. I'm kind of the same boat as you as far as the whole movie kind of seems, I don't want to call it, like, a mess because that seems harsh. But it just seems like it's trying to wrap up so many different things to kind of wrap up this whole entire saga.
Yeah.
That it seems very, like, here and there that you're kind of, you can keep up with, but it's very, it's just, it's, I guess it's, I mean, it, you keep up with it, but it is hard to keep up
and
with.
And, like, every at the same character time. Has, like, its own story and everything.
Yeah.
So you're, like, as you're watching, you're, like, trying to think, like, how are they going to wrap up, like, as a character? Like, who are they as a person? Like, all this stuff. And so you're just trying to think of, like, and see through all of that, the whole film.
And we have the benefit of seeing it twice, because the first time I was the same way, trying to see, like, man, what are they trying to go with this? You know what I'm saying? But, like, the second time, you already know what happens. So, like, you're kind of, you're just doing, you're seeing the story for what it is.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, how you were doing, or probably what Tal were doing, we're trying to think ahead of, like, okay, they said that, what does that mean?
Where is
it trying to go? Mm-hmm. So it's different, for sure.
If I had to, like, compare it, it's exactly like Infinity War, where you have all, you have 20 separate movies trying to streamline to one. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to wrap 42 years into one 2.5 hour movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I had to compare it to any other movie, that's exactly how I compare it. Like, Infinity War, a lot of people gave it, critics just, they criticized it off of pacing, but overall it's a great movie, and I felt the exact same way with Rise of Skywalker. It's a great movie overall.
Yeah.
Just some, they're like, you know, you, Nick, know a little bit better since you've seen it more. Mm-hmm. You saw it twice. You could recognize some of the plot holes or some of the rushes in certain areas just because they're trying to streamline everything into one movie.
Yeah.
And sum up not only a trilogy, but an entire saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So that being said, like, I think my personal rating, seeing it the second time, is a 7.5 to an 8 in that range. That's kind of a big range, like, if you put it like that. But I'll go with an 8. I'll go with an 8 because I think Kylo Ren is one of my favorite characters in the entire story.
I love Kylo.
As far as his development throughout the three movies, it was kind of lost in The Last Jedi, but I think it picks it up in this movie.
Now, are you saying he's one of your favorite characters in the storyline of the whole saga, or in just the whole saga?
Huh. Yeah, as far, I mean, I guess as antagonist. So it goes like Anakin Skywalker is my favorite in Revenge of the Sith and his whole character development. And then it goes Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Like, I personally like Kylo Ren more than Darth Vader.
They do a better job of making him seem more conflicted.
And more personable.
More personable.
Yeah. Very, but, a lot more personable.
Yeah. But I, in my personal opinion, and this is where I'm going to disagree with you, I don't like Kylo Ren.
Really?
And the fact, and the reason being, I'm a very classic good versus evil person, in a sense, of these types of sci-fi, you know, worlds.
Yeah.
You know, and so, or fantasy worlds, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very, like, either you need to be good or you need to be bad.
Okay.
And when someone comes into the mix where it's like, they do bad things, but then they have a conflict with that eventually, and then they're like, well, now I want to be good. For me, it's hard to register because I'm like, how do you not know you were doing bad things
when it was happening?
Yeah.
You know, but, and so
go ahead.
So that's why I have a hard time, especially with a character like Kylo Ren,
mm-hmm.
where as opposed to like Darth Vader, he's like, I mean, him, Count Dooku, Palpatine, like all these guys that know who they are, know that the power in which they wield, and they utilize that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it adds to the story.
Yeah, right? I hear you. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying, like, that's why Kylo Ren is one of my favorite, because he is so personable. Because obviously we all go in real life in the world that we call Earth.
Yeah.
We all do right and wrong, and then we have our own feelings on how the wrong and try to make it sense of it.
Yeah.
So I think Kylo Ren is a good...
He's kind of like the gray area in all of our decision-making.
Kind of like how we are. Yeah, so he's more human, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like he has a good and a bad. So it's hard for him to go either way. You see him? Yeah.
Yeah,
I love his voice in the mask, to you be like honest. It's like, woof.
Whoa!
And like, especially in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good in that, I thought, as like a villain.
His chest looked like a freaking...
The only thing...
Wide body,
literally.
The only thing that I don't really like as far as the movies before is that he was very hot-headed. Yeah. And it was like... So when you're hot-headed, you kind of come off as weak, right? So like, because you can't control your emotions.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't like in his earlier movies. But in this movie, it kind of makes up for that. Because... He does seem very... I mean, he's still conflicted, but it comes off as strong.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, in Force Awakens, his rage looked childish.
Like a child.
But what they were trying to go is that he's a conflicted person.
Yeah.
But it just looked like a little child just throwing a temper tantrum.
That's what it looks like.
This movie, they did such a great job of closing off the character. I just wish more of this development came from the other movies so that they could flush out more...
In a good pace.
Yeah, more of him, in a better pace instead of just rushing at the end. But
you can say that about a lot of the characters too.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into that.
So, like I said, a little bit earlier is coming out of the first viewing of this movie, I held this movie on a very high pedestal. I thought they did a really good job. I thought the look of it, the sound of it, the acting, everything about the movie, I thought flowed well, and so I held it at like a 9. Now watching it a second time, I have different views on certain things that happen in the movie. So now I'm at a 7.
You went down to a 7?
I went down 2 full points.
Two full points.
And
that's lower than me.
I know. I don't think I like it as much now, watching it a second time, than I did the first time.
Really?
Yeah. I'll go over it in spoilers on some of the things.
Man, I want to hear this because the first time we did watch it, we went to lunch and we discussed the entire movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was good. Obviously, it was good. I still think it's good. But he's like, it's a 9.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And then that's a big switch. That's a big flop of...
By all means, I think 7 is a very average score. I think it's still a good movie.
For sure.
You know, I think it's still very entertaining. It's just... I don't hold it as good as I thought I wanted it to be.
But honestly, like, any of the Star Wars could be at, like, a high rating just because of, like, the CGI and the action and stuff.
Just the visuals alone.
I feel like that itself puts it at automatic, like, at least 5.
In a visual aspect, it's so crazy. It's, like, it's at least a 7.
And it doesn't surprise me your score drops. It's just, like I said earlier, like, your first run around. You're just taking it all in. Like,
exactly.
You're hyped. Mm-hmm. You've seen nothing but the trailers. And one thing that Star Wars and Disney do a really good job of.
So good at trailers.
They hide so much when it comes to their bigger movies. So when you go there, it's just a big old, like, you're like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, yeah, it's unraveling the story. Yeah,
second time around, you know what's happening. So this is your opportunity to kind of nitpick a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of look at the flaws. You're not as... hyped, you're not as antsy, you're looking more for the details, so it doesn't really surprise me, but like I said, I think overall, very good cohesive movie.
Mm-hmm.
I do rank it second. I think Force Awakens is the best in terms of...
You really?
I thought it was so good.
Of this trilogy.
Same.
Of this trilogy.
Really?
Of this trilogy. And you know what? I'm leaning that way also.
Really?
I am.
And
I don't know.
I think The Rise of Skywalker is a very, very close second.
Yeah. I think it's the best.
I think it is a very close second. But really? I do think The Force Awakens is just a little bit better.
I feel like it's too close to New Hope, you know, as far as plot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's really all it is.
The one thing I will give Rise of Skywalker, a lot of credit for is they have this theme of like, no matter how much of the odds are against you,
yeah, mm-hmm.
it all goes back to that word hope.
Exactly.
You know, like in my mind, that word is just playing out yeah. in my head. Like,
yeah.
you know, like
it's still hope. No matter what.
Like they did a really good job instilling that theme. I think that's the overall theme of the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Besides the fight of good and evil, but like no matter how small or you know dwindled you are. Having hope,
it always
like,
goes back to
that. Yeah, and like and that's a major theme of Star Wars, and I thought that J.J. Abrams did a great job of closing out the saga with the theme on how the entire series
it's just
started.
Hope.
Yeah,
it's just hope
through that word hope.
So. Well, which is good because like when you go, so I've always said that Star Wars is pretty awesome because obviously the worlds that they have are very different than what we have here. But it's very personable. Like, it's still very, like, it's
themes
different,
and conflicts
but it's same, still yeah. human. It's still humane. Yeah. So, like, hope is a very, we obviously go through our challenges and we have doubts and stuff like that. And, like, maybe we're not going to make it. Maybe we're not going to do this. But, like, the whole hope, like, you can connect to hope.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, you can connect to hope. And it makes it so, like, if they get through this, like, whatever I'm going through, we can get through it.
Especially with those battle sequences, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because
exactly.
it always revolves around, you know, a battle where it sucks to say, but it's always like the rebels or the resistance is getting creamed, right?
Which I don't get because the stormtroopers are trash and can't hit any like main characters and kill them.
Yeah.
But then like they're killing all of the other guys.
Every time.
And it's just like, man.
Yeah.
How do they not...
It's
win
always just like the battleship scenes, like he said. Like,
yeah.
It's always just like, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like Poe when he's like, guys, like.
Yeah, yeah. We could get into Poe and the whole
but like
yeah.
the whole thing no, about like, Poe. But is just... overall, I just love how they focus so much on the theme that started it all.
Yeah.
That's how they wrapped it up with a very, with a really feel good kind of like attitude towards the end. Like you walked out of there like. You either had a smile on your face or, you know, you're more of a diehard. You felt, like, inspired on what they're doing next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was really... That was really good in terms of, like themes of what they were going for.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Will I watch this movie again on Disney Plus or Netflix?
Okay.
Absolutely.
I thought you were about to say in theater.
No.
I was like, damn, we're going the third time?
No.
Oh, man.
Not in theaters again. I think a second time was good.
I would go again.
I wouldn't.
I just
not because
Star
I didn't
Wars.
Like the movie. It's just like I hardly ever go see a movie twice in theaters.
Yeah.
See it a third time.
To see it a third time.
In Dollar Theater, though?
Maybe. Maybe like a discount theater.
Yeah, I would do that.
I might, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's if I'm like not wanting to see something. There's always something coming out that I want to go see, right? Because I'm a very, what's new? Like what's coming out? You know,
I like
staying current. And you like whatever movies you like, you stick to.
I can watch
Top Gun. We've talked about that
times.
Before.
There's only two movies I've seen three times in the theaters.
Oh.
One was Endgame. The other was Django Unchained.
What?
Okay, Django Unchained was a really
I've
good
never
movie.
Seen that. I've
Django Unchained is in my top three favorite movies of all time.
Really?
It's a really good
with Jamie Foxx and Leo.
Yep.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. I need to see it.
I think they were. That's one of the movies that they were like, I can't believe Leo didn't win an award off of. Like he did a really.
Well,
good
we
job.
Could have said that about a lot of things.
A lot of
yeah,
those
exactly.
scenes too were improv. But you know, enough about Django.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I need to see this movie.
Off tangent. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie. Any last
generals?
Comments?
This is the longest general we've ever had. I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's Star Wars.
It's
right.
a lot. You
I mean,
can
like,
say.
Yeah, like we. I mean, things we want to cover the series as a whole, the trilogy as a whole, in the movie.
Okay.
So there's just different points that we want to get across.
Yeah.
Want to talk about.
So I have a question. So what if you could put the trilogies in order? I think we should do the movies later. What trilogies would you put in order after this one's completed?
I can answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's just in the order of which
that
they were
which
made.
They were made.
Yeah. I honestly mean, a lot of people are saying, well, the 4, 5, and 6 wasn't that great. But if you really think about it, like that was
who
cinematic
that?
Masterpiece.
Who says that?
I've heard people say like 4, 5, and 6 are not the greatest.
Those are just cucks who grew up on the
you can say that.
That's those fine. Were guys who grew up on the prequels, and that's all they know about Star Wars.
Yeah,
what? The original, like a new, like the original trilogy was groundbreaking in cinema to do something of that scale. Yeah. But yet practical effects, and then to tell that kind of story.
Yeah.
The story was crazy.
But, so you say in the order they were made.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
crazy coming from you, because you like 2, is your favorite Star Wars.
2 is probably one of my, and 3 and is up there, I know
3
too.
Is up there too.
Yeah. Oh, 3, 3 is like also.
But I'm not looking at it as a sense of what I movie. Like.
Yeah.
You know, what I like. I'm looking at it as in a sense of. The full movie in scope, right? The full, the what are they trying? Yeah, well, that, you know, the story in which they're trying to tell, because I'm a very big dialogue person too.
I know.
I like 2 and 3 because I think the dialogue and the action are equally there, but that doesn't say that 4, 5, and 6 may not have as much action, but the dialogue is just as important as the dialogue in 1, 2, and 3. So it's
definitely more important.
For sure,
because 1, 2, and 3 had these special effects a little bit more that they could kind of dilute the whole story, so that they could like, hey, here's this, like, look at this cool toy,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
That's how I'm looking at it. Yeah. I'm not looking at it as in like, well, because I liked 2 and 3, I think it should be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, in just chronological order.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it as movies. You know, like how they were made, what they were trying to portray.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
So if I had to rank the 3 separate trilogies, and these are trilogies, I'm not looking at the individual movies.
Correct.
I would have to go same with Nick, mainly because growing up, you know, the prequels was intended to entertain, like, my generation growing up.
Yeah.
And that's one thing people need to realize. Like, you know, there are a lot of people who are, you know, grew up on the original trilogy are so hateful towards this new one or the prequels is because it doesn't compare to what they grew up with, you know. With each trilogy, they're trying to target specific groups or introduce younger people or new people into the Star Wars universe. So I go the original trilogy first just because those are cinema classics. If you consider yourself any kind of film buff, you would recognize the importance that that original trilogy had on cinema.
Yeah.
And then the prequels, I rank number 2 just because overall, that's what I grew up with. That's what I was first introduced to Star Wars with. Like, Revenge of the Sith came out May 19th, 2005, that was on my 11th birthday, the same day, going to watch that. That nostalgia will carry with me forever. And I rank the newer trilogy a little bit on the lower end just because, not because they're bad, they do ride that nostalgia train a lot more. Because with the prequel trilogy, that's nostalgia that I created. With this new trilogy, they're riding on nostalgia. Like, they're like, instead of like something like, you kind of like a memory you create, they're going off of your memories as a cash cow a little bit.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, it's still a very great cohesive trilogy overall. It's just that I grew up with the prequels. That's what I know.
Yeah.
I rank it higher.
Yeah, I'm the same way because I had a Star Wars cake when Revenge of the Sith came out. Yeah. I had a Yoda little candle. You remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
At that time was a very big part of our lives.
But for me, personally, I was so young, I really didn't understand what was going on. But, like, you see lights and sabers and green people flying around fighting Emperor Palpatine and the Senate and stuff like that. Like, it, like, sticks to you. Mm-hmm. So, I personally think, still, I agree with y'all when I watched it. If I was younger, if I was a little kid, I'd say 1, 2, and 3 sequel were my favorite, and then 4, 5, 6. And then 7, 8, 9.
So in chronological order.
But now, when I'm older and I understand the story and everything, I still have to go 4, 5, 6. And then 1, 2, 3. And then 7, 8, 9. For me now.
I'm thinking more like simplistic. So mine is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. Just because, like, I don't know, nostalgia. Like, I watched episode 1 all the time with baby Anakin and, like, fighting in the... fighting in the little ships speeder and stuff. And, like, I love... I like love C-3PO, so like seeing him like be made by Anakin and stuff is so cute, and like I love the development of Anakin and everything, and episode 3 obviously. So. Yeah,
man, that is a movie.
I love Anakin in general.
Like, Anakin's probably my favorite character in the entire thing.
Revenge of the Sith is the one Star Wars movie where they packed a bunch of stuff into it. I will always give them a pass because that movie just holds a very special place, like in my heart.
Yeah, man. I was like,
I love that movie.
I was like 10 when that whole thing went down.
And it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
it really is. Like everything you want in Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith gives you.
Even though he was killing young Padawans, it's still a lot of younglings.
but like Nick, you agree with me. Like me and Nick are the same age. Like growing up, like that's when that came out. Like I think all of us, when we were old enough to understand a little bit of the story, what's going on.
Yeah,
you could follow it, but then all this, you know, these things are happening. So like that's why our generation really gravitates towards Revenge of the Sith so much.
And yeah,
like, yeah.
Because I hadn't seen 4, 5, and 6 before. I probably saw 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you see 4, 5, and 6, and you obviously know he becomes Darth Vader, and you go back in time and see 1, 2, and 3 and his arc as a character, and then at episode 3 he obviously turns into the dark side, or not turns into, he turns to the dark side. Bliss. It was very, very nice. And like, it's obviously crazy, and like the whole story is just really, really good. But yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's so much, it just looking at how we get how, you know, they started with this whole saga with the 4, 5, and 6, you know, they felt like 1, 2, and 3 wouldn't give enough justice to the storyline, right? They were scared that if they started with episode 1, that it would stop in its tracks. So they skipped straight to 4, 5, and 6. But this saga, I think, is just very special. 4, 5, and 6, you know, like Tal had said and mentioned, you know, they're going after the younger generation. That's where the money is, right? They're growing up. They're, you know, they have money to spend. That's the target market in which it's going towards now. But really, you know, I think at some point for anybody that is getting into Star Wars now, it needs to be something that they go back and look at what Star Wars was with 4, 5, and 6 to really give that appreciation that this saga really deserves.
For sure.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was good. I think our general thoughts have
that's the best general thoughts we've ever had.
I mean, it's the longest one we've had, but it was the best one we had.
I mean, sure. It's because we love Star Wars. Like I think everyone here like really likes
like
Star Wars.
Movies.
It's crazy. I personally like Star Wars more than Marvel.
1,000%.
Yeah. I don't know about y'all too. Like you and Tall. So
I would be more on the Marvel train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be more on the Marvel train, but that's not to say that I don't like love Star Wars.
Oh, you I mean, y'all both love Star Wars.
I love Star Wars. I love Marvel. I love what DC is starting to do.
Yeah.
And I love like the Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings saga, or I don't know, I guess trilogies.
This is my favorite series as a whole, is mine.
But yeah,
it's Star Wars. It's I love it.
Mine is If I had to rank movie series, well, that's a whole separate thing. But like, Star Wars is top 3, but I would say Marvel and probably Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter, dude.
Are in the mix. But
I'm
like,
not a huge Harry Potter
y'all
guy. We're not. We aren't.
I watched stopped that up to the 4th.
Same.
Oh. And then after that, I just...
Which I wish I could, but I just...
It my has thing, so many messages, like...
My thing is read
about,
the... Yeah.
Like, character and, like, being how you should be as a person and all that stuff, just like Star Wars does. That's why
I feel I believe it, too. Yeah. We need to get to that.
Yeah. You should.
We should. No. Yeah.
Well, guys, that is our general thoughts here for episode 8 of Star Wars, The episode Rise 9. Of Skywalker. No, it's 8. Episode 8. Oh, episode 9.
Our episode.
I was like, you're throwing me off.
No.
Dude.
No.
Episode 8 of Reel It In, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker on episode 9, which is for the saga.
Correct.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's my fault. I wasn't paying attention on what you were saying. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you guys sticking around. If you haven't seen the movie, this is going to be your stopping point. But thank you so much. If you haven't already, go follow us on Twitter at Reel It In Podcast or on Instagram at Reel It In Podcast. With underscores in between the words. We want to say thank you again to Mr. Ta and Alex for joining us, but they will be sticking around so we can get into some spoilers. But again, guys,
oh, this is a lot
of juicy stuff. We're going to try to keep it, as short as we can.
We talked about it being short, but I just... I want it to be, because we just want it to be always, but...
But you need to realize, like...
It's so much.
This move, this one movie is wrapping
it's up almost two movies.
So much.
Yeah.
So
it's almost two movies.
You have to take in consideration, it's ending a trilogy, it's ending a saga, it's just so much to talk about.
It's a whole lot.
So much. But again, we do thank you for joining us. Guys, again, Merry Christmas, and we do wish you a very happy new year. This is going to be the end of season one for us here at Reel It In.
That's crazy.
Which is weird. I'm stoked to say the end of season one. Season two will start next year, and we will provide those dates, in the beginning of the year. But thank you guys so much for sticking around and supporting us. We really have enjoyed this, and we're continuing to go up, and hopefully we can get the studio looking great, even more so. And so thank you guys so much again. Happy New Year. And we'll see you...
Merry Christmas.
Season 2. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into some spoilers. Here we go. Oh, that sounded really good. Okay, that's so loud.
That's your Yoda's. Someone do it, Chewbacca. A Wookiee.
Oh my god.
Alright, guys. Star Wars, Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Spoilers. Babu Freak, the best character.
Best character in the entire Star Wars.
Oh my god.
Babu Freak was the funniest guy, dude. I love that guy. Hi, my name's Babu Freak. Babu Freak.
That was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, so much to say. We're not going to go scene by scene in regards to this movie. I guess I'll start off by saying, because maybe my views, you guys can help me stir my way back to the positive. Because I do have some negative views on the movie this second time around.
Yeah.
The first one being, what the hell is up with the Knights of Ren?
What?
I don't understand.
Really?
We get a half second glimpse of them in the Force Awakens trailer. Skip 4 years later, and then we finally see them in this movie.
Yeah.
What, dude? I don't know.
This whole movie, they're just walking around towns trying to search for people.
They really don't know.
And then
anything.
When they actually fight,
they get their ass kicked.
They get their ass kicked by Kylo Ren, the person in who I'm assuming they're supposed to be fighting for.
Can we time out real quick?
What?
It's not Kylo Ren. It's Ben Solo.
Okay, Ben Solo.
At that point.
Oh my god.
Just saying.
Yeah. Which I also had an issue with.
Just saying. If we're being technical and all that stuff. It's Ben.
Ugh.
Continue.
No. I that was really one of the few things that I had an issue with. The fact that this was supposed to be really kind of like our elite force for the Sith or for Kylo. And we get like a 20-second fight with them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, well, they all have like their own like kind of unique abilities. Swords and spears and, hammers and shit. And they get demolished in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Didn't understand that. I guess my second issue with the movie that I had was the force off, that's what I'm calling it, the force off between
Rey and Kylo when they're trying to get off of the ship.
Is there some sort of way that a Jedi has a stronger ability to the force than others, in a sense? Because I guess I don't understand how
1000%. Yeah,
because whenever Ren decided to go under Snoke or Palpatine, now that we know that he's pulling the strings, when you do that, you're kind of disconnecting a little bit of yourself from the Force, and you're accepting more of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always under the impression that the dark side and the Force are kind of, they're the same entities, just with the dark side, you're pouring more of your negative emotions into it, which clouds judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it makes sense why like, I can reason out why Rey would have a stronger effect with the Force than Kylo, since Kylo, being on the dark side, has kind of severed himself some of those connections and ties. Yes.
Well, and the reason why I'm saying that is because you can go back and see in several different scenarios throughout the saga is that Jedi have tough times with larger objects in the sense of lifting them and moving them and you know, using them as weapons or projectiles in a sense. And then here we are with Rey, who is, man, is still a new Jedi essentially in training, who is using her power to stop a transport with like two big ass jet engines trying to get out of the solar, you know, trying to get off of the planet. So I didn't really understand the whole power flux in a sense.
I think it's to be assumed that she is just so naturally powerful
because maybe she's a Palpatine.
Is that like, she probably doesn't have the training as Kylo does, but as far as just being her naturally
force, yeah,
just being naturally powerful, she just has it, you know.
Yeah,
but then it's also like the whole sense of humanity, like it's strong. She's strong because she doesn't give in to like the Sith and stuff. So I feel like that makes her strong with the Force, like as a person, just strong, you know.
Because she kind of knows who she is.
Yeah.
Like, and what she's fighting for.
Yeah. Like people who cave into the Sith, like
Ben. Are kind of weak.
Yeah. In a like sense. Ben did basically, like the whole trilogy, except for this one, like are weaker.
Because he's talking about how it's too late for me to come back to the good side.
Yeah.
Because he's like, and at the end, when he's talking, spoiler, I guess, but we're in spoilers. When he's talking to Han Solo, he's like, I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I'm strong enough to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So it's like giving into the dark side is technically the weak.
Yes.
And being the good.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Is what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Man, you just have problems.
I know. I'm getting them all out on the table now. And I'm hoping that when I talk through them, it'll help me either cope with it or figure out more of a meaning behind it. Because, you know, I love Star Wars. I like the story. I know the main story of it, you know, but obviously there's so much to it that you miss things, right? And you don't understand the full amount of things. So talking amongst people who actually enjoy it and know the story as well, they can fill you in, right? But I guess another issue that I had with this movie was I felt the relationship between Kylo and Rey was very forced throughout this trilogy. It was confusing for me there towards the end when, you know, did they really even ever have a connection, really, in a sense, other than the connection they have through the Force, you know, through between the two of them?
Which was weird because that was all manipulated by Palpatine. So, like, you never knew if it was real or not.
Yeah.
You know, that was the biggest thing. No, and, like, to your point, that was, like, another thing. Like, they could have flushed out so much more of this relationship between the two, but they did not start this redemption arc for Kylo until this third movie. Like, Last Jedi was a wash. Force Awakens kind of introduced it. And it just felt so rushed of them trying to basically start and close Kylo's. Because, like, obviously Ren as being kind of like the main. You see her journey pan out in three movies. She's the focus. So you see that development. But with Kylo, it's skipped. You know, you introduce him in the first movie, then you're wrapping it up, introducing his internal conflict all in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like, for me, you know, you go through the movie, you know, the first time watching it, and, you know, this was even me the first time watching the movie. You know, all this is happening, you're enjoying the whole movie, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a kiss scene by Rey and Kylo, and it didn't feel
like they had a connection.
Like there was anything there. It was a feeling of like, well, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, the whole time that whole thing was going down, I was like, please don't kiss. Like, I just don't want y'all to kiss.
Gabe and I were talking about that.
Did you feel the same way?
I just didn't want them to kiss.
Yeah. I mean,
like, if they fall in love after the fact, okay.
No, I didn't.
Not right after the fact. Like, not right after it all goes down.
I felt like they definitely had a connection and everything, but not like a romantic one. Like a like I'm
fascinated.
Like Rey is his like saving light, you know, not like yo, what's up, girl?
Yeah,
you know,
it was like a family friend connection, like a.
We did talk about this, and yeah, I don't know about that.
It's like I don't know. Like I see them not. I don't see them as family, but I see them as. Like,
so she's saying that he is a Skywalker slash technically, I guess. So a Skywalker.
She literally adopts the name Skywalker. So like he is a Skywalker.
He's half, yeah.
Yeah. So like he's that's half, family friend at least.
But she's not an actual Skywalker.
That's incest.
I know, but
incest in Star Wars.
I know, but she's a very, very, very big part of like Luke and Leia and this whole thing. Like she considers Leia and Luke her mentors, like a parent father figure.
Her
like,
grandfather.
I think it's more of that she would have. She, I guess, after the kiss, she would have married into the family if Ben was there, turning into a somewhat of a Skywalker.
Yeah, like, they have this connection in the sense, like, in the scene, in my mind, I was like, when they were kind of looking, gazing each other's eyes.
Yeah, I was like,
if I was Ben, I'd be like, your grandfather is the reason why this all happened.
Oh yeah. My God. Shut up.
But thinking about it the way you just put it, in a sense, like, she would have married into the family, makes me hate that kiss scene even more.
Yeah.
Like, I just thinking about it that way, I'm just like, I wish it would have just been him giving her
a hug.
Life and a hug.
The hero's death.
And then just dying. They would have hugged, like,
the hero's death, the redemption ended. Why did you have to force this romantic scene?
Yeah.
Like,
it just sexualized everything.
It taints. Okay, it just taints his redemption arc that much more.
Yeah.
On top of rushing it, because, like, it was beautifully worked up until that scene. I was like,
and then she doesn't even really shed a tear for the guy.
I know,
right? So it's like it's all sorts of confusion, and it sucks that it's at the very end of the movie, and you're sitting there like, well,
what the point? What was the point?
What was the point of that?
You There's know, no like, point.
Like there was nothing there to begin with. Why do that? Yeah. Like why? There's, you know, but it was that whole the connection between the two, which we end up finding out is generations between. Like it happens every so, you know, tens, hundreds of generations.
Yeah.
Two people have that type of connection through the Force.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come to figure that out now. You know, Palpatine ends up giving us that information. But even with that connection through the Force, they never really had a connection romantically.
Exactly.
And that I would upsets say me. At all.
I only thought they had a connection through, like, their blood relatives and, like, the Force.
I thought the only
Not
connection...
Not that they were blood, but their relatives were, like, powerful people with the Force. So
yeah.
Therefore, like, they were powerful with the Force, you know?
I just thought the only connection that they had that he was obsessed with getting Rey because she was the only threat as far as from the light side to to defeating him on the dark side. And that's the only connection that they had.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you become obsessed with someone when you need to, I guess, capture them.
Yeah.
But not as, like, a romantic. And then for Rey to be... I guess wanting to kiss a guy that's like obsessed with her and chasing her and her friends for three movies seems weird to me.
It's just frustrating for me because they decide to go down that route as far as a relationship when, and this is the other issue I have with this movie, when they have a character.
Dude, that's like in love with her, I guess.
Who is in love with her and we have known has been in love with her.
Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
No, you know.
Because
you
know. They hinted it.
Yeah,
They hinted it twice and then didn't say what he needed to say.
And he's always so obsessed with her, like, Rey, like, come back. Oh,
so
my God,
we're going to dive into that, that's also one of my biggest complaints with this movie.
Is that he says it twice.
With Finn. Finn, okay, in the first movie, they set up, okay, he has a crush on Rey, right?
Yes.
He's also a stormtrooper who had this intuition to not kill innocent civilians. Second movie, they force this him and Rose Tico, which I will get into in a little bit. and then they go on that plot line. And then this one, they have Rey trying to tell Poe about his love for... Or Finn telling about Poe about his love for Rey. Then you have Rose, which they made completely an afterthought. Then you have...
Oh, that frustrates me.
Then you have meeting this other girl on Endor...
Yeah.
And then she is now part of this deserter group of stormtroopers. He can relate because he was a stormtrooper deserter. And so he goes on this arc with her about, you know, redeeming himself, being from this lonely, scared number stormtrooper to the hero and leader of the rebellion. I think if they would have just stuck with that arc of him going from stormtrooper to general of the rebellion, of this, like, you know, David versus Goliath, coming of age type story arc, Finn would be a more likable character. But the fact that they try to force all like 4 or 5 different types of story arcs for him, he's just being pulled in every direction. And it's just like, what is his purpose at this point? You know, like, what is he doing?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the thing with Star Wars is the fact that, you know, they always try to incorporate that love story, right? That love connection that everybody
was Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Anakin and Padme.
But focus, you have more of a platform to do it with Rey and Kylo, but they don't do that. They just wait till the end. They just throw in the kiss.
But why not it be Rey and Finn? That's what I'm saying. It's like, it made more sense for them to go that route since they did it from the very beginning.
Yeah, but they didn't close it that way,
though. And Rey didn't seem like she was interested in him in that type of way anyways.
Like, they never showed her because, like, every time he'd always open up about it, she was never there.
Yeah, exactly. But she, I mean, her and Finn definitely had the closest relationship, though, out of anybody really in this trilogy.
Yeah.
And so I think it would have been easier for her to at least write in for her to start falling in love with Finn, or see the good things in Finn to maybe pursue that in The Last Jedi. But again, The Last Jedi was such a shit movie
that it didn't
incorporate anything into it. Yeah. You know, it gave us a relationship with a third party girl, you know, that we were like, okay, what the hell is going on with this girl? You know, and then they come back here in this movie and she has like 3 lines.
Justice for my girl, Kelly Marie Tran. I'm Vietnamese. Stand up for the Viet community.
I hate you. They kick her to the curb.
They make her such a big influence that she is going to be like, she created the moral dilemma in Finn. Should he choose Rey or Rose?
Yeah.
Right? And they just ignore that completely.
Yeah, in this movie. They did. They toss
it aside. You know, like, they took out basically, like, Finn meeting the very last girl, the deserted stormtrooper, that was probably his best storyline, this redemption arc, you know, because, like, Star Wars is very big about overcoming your internal fear.
And what you're born to be.
Yeah, what you're born to be, to arise to something better. And if they would have stuck with that, if him just being this, you know, stormtrooper, just a number taken away from his family, to end up being a co-general of the rebellion, and basically single-handedly took down the fleet.
That would have been a great arc.
Half of the second act and third act for Finn was the best part of Finn that we've seen all this trilogy, of him actually arising to the occasion.
Imagine him like fighting different stormtroopers and turning stormtroopers into the rebellion. Because it's like, hey, we've been where you are. Yeah. Come join us as well. And it would be an entire different storyline for his character.
And it's the first time you don't see him getting these corny, cheesy lines after he shoots a plane and says, yeah. No, like, he meets someone that went through something like him. It gave him inspiration
to
be better.
But I think that meetup, This whole, you know, him meeting these deserters, that should have been in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I think exactly.
100%. That should have been in The Last Jedi.
You stick with one storyline, that redemption one, and you carry it 3 movies, he would be a better character and people wouldn't be as against him.
Yes. That should have happened in The Last Jedi. I think, you know, finding the Sith, what do they call it? The triangle thing, wayfinder.
Yeah, the wayfinder.
I think finding the wayfinder should have been more of a priority in The Last Jedi, and then at the end of it, maybe them finding it, and then this should have been more of the action packed.
It seems like this should be
closing of all the relationships. Finn would have the relationship with the new lady, I forgot her name, that's in this movie.
I don't think they say her name, it's just her number.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's like, there, and then, no offense to Tran at all, but then just not even have her in the series.
Yeah. either keep her around or don't have her.
Yeah.
Like, because they did her dirty.
And I hate the fact that they did that. That was one of my biggest gripes about this movie, is that she had like three lines. The relationship between her and Finn is non-existent. And, you know, and then they hint again towards Finn wanting to tell Rey that he loves her. You know, and then all of a sudden, Rey's kissing Kylo.
And then
and he's just like,
and he never says anything. And then also, to include that, first two movies, he doesn't believe in the Force. Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me to expect that he's Force sensitive?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, he's 100% Force sensitive.
He is Force sensitive, but like, the thing is, like, the first two movies, it was like, one, they set him up, like, just from a pure marketing standpoint, and watching the first half of The Force Awakens, I thought Finn was going to be the hero. Rey, they barely ever focused on in terms of marketing because, you know, and then...
Or Poe.
Yeah, or Poe. But like, and then Last Jedi, as we're going to repeat, beat this in y'all's brains. Last Jedi added nothing to this trilogy. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
They should have introduced... When they killed Snoke in the second movie, that's when they should have introduced Palpatine and then focus on Kylo Ren's internal conflict between good versus...
Immediately. Yes.
And then flush it out this movie.
I agree.
But instead, no, they do the whole Palpatine reveal in the beginning, which felt very forced. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't seem as natural. Mm-hmm. That's what The Last Jedi should have been.
Yeah.
Kill Snoke mid-movie and then reveal that... You know, because think about it. If you look back at the original trilogy, would it be as effective if... Darth Vader told Luke that he was his father in the beginning of Return of the Jedi and then forced everything else in between? Or was it more effective that he told it at the end of
Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back?
Empire Strikes Back, leaving it as a cliffhanger to later then flush it out in Return of the Jedi.
That's a good point.
Like, think about it. It would have had so much better effect. You could have had way better character development.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, the spacing of this trilogy and when they incorporated certain information, I thought was very flawed, and it brought in to this last episode when it should be an episode that's very, it feels very space, very paced, but still giving us closure. I felt like this movie, the first half, was still opening things for us, and then the last half was now, okay, hey, we gotta close this, and we gotta close it quickly. Mm-hmm. And they did the same thing. I felt the same way with the Lion King live action. I felt the same way with, there was another movie this year that I saw that I felt the same way. So I don't know if it's just, maybe it's a new directing type feel of movies, but I don't like it. I don't like that feel of being sitting in my chair being like, okay, there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand if you did that and it's like Endgame where you have a 3-hour movie. But if it's like if it's 2 hours or less, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah. But the thing with Endgame and the Avengers movies, the Russo brothers literally took over for Joss Whedon back in like 2015. Mm-hmm. So they've had 4 years to perfect finale.
Yeah.
My thing is, when you initially did the contract with J.J. Abrams, if he couldn't commit to all three, don't do it with him.
Yeah.
Because, like, now you have JJ in the first one. Then you have Rian Johnson, who directed Knives Out. Great movie, by the way. But, like, there are two different directors, two different creative minds. Differences. Exactly. Two different minds. So, like, that's why it's so not... It's not consistent. Streamlined. Yeah, it's not consistent. And then you bring JJ back for the third one.
And he's trying to fix it all.
He's trying to fix it all in the first half. That's why I felt everything felt so rushed and, you know, or like slow paced, because he's either having to explain what happened in Last Jedi to justify it or just negate it completely.
Yeah. And just like kind of like, let's just forget about that. Yeah, about how that just happened, and here we are.
But there are some things that you do forget about, right? I mean, that you forgive, not necessarily forget about, but that you forgive, because we're Star Wars fans. It has all the pew pew and the explosions and the wombs.
Like I can forgive the pacing of Rise of Skywalker. I cannot forgive Last Jedi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it sucks to say that, but you know, at the end of the day, I think this movie did the best it could
with the setup,
with how Last Jedi ended, or how Last Jedi was in general as a movie. So, I think in a sense of characters themselves. You know, not only do I think there was a lot going on with Finn, I just, for me personally, I didn't really like him. I don't think he added a whole lot in this trilogy. And, you know, and it could be because of the writing. It could be because of all of the different story arcs that he had. But for me, it's like every line that I felt like Finn had, it started with him yelling at someone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Ray! Or like, you know, like, Chewie! Yeah. You know, and like somebody was, something was happening. He was just coming out of nowhere and being like, ah! You know, like, what's going on?
Because like the way they set him up and introduced him Force Awakens, he was destined for more.
Yeah.
Like, he's a stormtrooper taken away from his home, doesn't have any memory, you know, and like this is his tragic background. Then he has this sense of like morality, and it just gets washed away. Yeah. Like, imagine if instead of Rey, it was Finn. Oh, that would have been dramatic to go from stormtrooper to like savior of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a redeeming quality. I really liked how they ended Poe. Like, Poe overall,
between Poe.
Poe between all three has had the most consistent of development from this reckless, because even in Last Jedi, they did a decent job of him arguing with that one lady who took over, who did the hyperspace into the Imperial ship, of just this reckless, you know, he's very cocky, to eventually becoming the general of
the
Resistance.
After Leia.
He had the best development arc. It was the most consistent. Granted, it's the most cliche, you know, hothead turns responsible.
Yeah.
But it was one that, you know, I have no issues with whatsoever on how it ended. Like, him ending to become the general, like, he learned what it meant to self-sacrifice from Last Jedi. Like, he thought that she was being a bad leader when she gave up her life, you know, to say, like, that was his learning moment. And then this one, he kind of takes the reins but doesn't know what to do. And then just, you know, that idea of hope.
For Finn, he was always like the corny part of the Disney movies for me. Like,
exactly.
Everything that was like, oh, this was made by Disney, it was said by Finn, like for me.
But yeah, Poe low-key, best development of this entire trilogy.
So, it was surprising for me for Poe, like in this movie. I didn't think he was going to go anywhere, honestly.
I liked Poe from the very beginning as far as the character was concerned. But for Finn, I'm going to kind of try to rationalize what I think his character was with the knowledge that was given it the second time that I watched it, for him knowing that she was a Palpatine the entire time with Princess Leia, because he said that he knew, and he would always tell Poe, like, you don't understand what she's going through with the in like who she's trying to become. So that's kind of why he obsessed, like Kylo Ren, kind of obsessed with her, to try to be like his little, her little, like, kind of, I guess, kind of like sidekick, and just trying to always look after her. And obviously he's not as powerful as Rey, so obviously he has those rays and those screams and stuff like that.
But all of
he's
more sensitivity
just but, yeah, makes sense. Exactly. That, yeah, I agree. But like, just like saying that he knows what she's going through, and he's just trying to like be there for her for whatever she's going through. And it comes off as kind of a pussy.
literally the whole time, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so I, to agree with Tal, I do think that Poe was a very, very good character in this trilogy. I liked, Last Jedi, I didn't like how Luke Skywalker had ended up dying. I still have an issue with.
But the redeeming quality is Poe maturing from hothead to eventually taking over as leader.
Yeah.
Like, it, that's the only redeeming quality about Last Jedi, is how they develop Poe. Because that was actually truly masterfully handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, and then they probably had that, who was the director of the,
Rian Johnson.
Rian, he probably had that in mind, that, hey, Poe was probably going to be heading in that general direction, especially coming out of the Force Awakens, you know, and him and Leia, their relationship, you know, kind of back and forth through that. Yeah. So that was kind of already set in the groundwork in a sense. So him doing that in The Last Jedi, I thought was a really, really great idea. For sure. Let's talk about one more one more thing. I don't know if anybody else has anything else that they wanted to talk about.
I have one thing that will be probably quick.
Go ahead.
The one major gripe that I have about this, like, this movie, is that it seemed like it was kind of like Avengers Endgame for me. So, like,
in what sense?
Yeah. So, like, with the Knights of Ren, and how it, like, kind of like Thanos had his
like five little guys that kind of did his work for him. Mm-hmm. So it had that for Kylo Ren. And then at the very end, just the whole like, we have everyone here in the entire galaxy, kind of like how you had Spider-Man coming back and Doctor Strange coming back and all these people. And there's one Vietnamese guy from Doctor Strange. I know my boy Tall knows. But yeah, so.
Benedict Wong.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of how I felt.
You know, and they did mention it in there really quick, you know, in a sense of the doubt of people showing up for that final battle. In a sense that they did, you know, nobody showed up for something like the battle at that
some battle they were talking about,
like
where Last Jedi like ended.
Was that battle?
Yeah,
that was okay. The reference.
Yeah,
okay. And I didn't know what the battle was called in Last Jedi. So
yeah, and the fact that the Resistance went from like literally four people at when Last Jedi ended to oh, they actually have a base.
I know.
Yeah,
they have
yeah.
structure. Like,
but that's kind of how it seems for every movie, right? It's like the Resistance always gets shat on by the Empire, or by the Sith, or by the Separatists. And then the next movie is like, oh, hey, by the way, we grew our forces by like 10,000.
But they made it seem like at the end of Last Jedi, literally no one
was there.
Like, it's literally just Leia.
And like five ships.
Poe, Rey, Finn, three other people, and then like... like four or five ships. And yeah, that's it.
Not a lot. And yet, but you know, for me, it's like that's something that I'm like, okay, I can forgive that because like of the story, right? Of the world in which they're creating, right? It's kind of the same thing. Like even in like Lord of the Rings, you know, it's like it feels like they're losing a lot of people and a lot of men, but then the next movie is like they have their full army, yeah. You know. So
yeah.
it's just one of those things. I think with the fantasy is that you don't really. That's something you think of, but it's kind of something you're like, okay, I can brush that aside.
I think they're just trying to drive home the theme of like always having hope.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Always having people that believe in something.
Yeah.
But you know, I like that. Honestly, that was a scene really that gave me chills in this movie.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm always one for that hope message, yeah. Right? I'm always one that you know gets giddy over. In that typical scenario, you know, of like a one line kind of catchphrase,
exactly.
You know, like that scenario is like, okay, I'm okay with Lando Calrissian coming in and saying, you know, what I forgot what it is what he said, but you know, coming in and saying like we're here, or like you know,
well, yeah, it was think like, again, was like they like, just have more than us. And he's just like they have a lot, and he's like not more than us though.
Yeah. So like I'm okay with that in that sort of scenario because I feel like just that one liner is like it enhances. That kind of that feel of like okay, there is hope. There mm-hmm. is you know there we can, they can do this, yeah. And you know. But I can understand where you're coming from though, in a sense also.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
That scenario.
Kind of like how like we've seen this movie before.
Like, yeah.
Like what was that movie we did with Will Smith? Gemini Man.
Oh, Gemini Man.
Like we've seen this before, so yeah. That's kind of how I felt with this. But I mean. I guess that's just a good story.
But
then
I guess moving on, I think as discombobulated as the movie was, I love that the fact that they drove home was like this theme of believing in something when you have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really drove it home, and it's just a great way to end whenever this whole series began with this idea of when you have nothing, if you believe in something enough. You can always overcome an obstacle. So it was just a beautiful way to end like mm-hmm. the series. Like they like again, as much things were going on, this that driving home that theme, that idea was handled perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your thing?
That's where I was gonna kinda go into. So we talked about Rey adopting the Skywalker name. which again I don't know. I'm
it's a little corny.
It is corny. It seemed forced. Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about it still. But I did want to talk about one thing which it does seem like a lot of people were wondering and wanting to talk about, and I have my own opinion on it, but it's the gold lightsaber.
It's dope.
The gold yellow lightsaber that Rey ends up wielding at the end of the movie.
I want to touch up on that it would have been more badass if she was just like, I'm Rey Palpatine, and this is who I am. but I'm not like my grandfather. Like, I am Rey Palpatine. It doesn't matter what my name says I am. This is who I am. And kind of own up to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I understand where she's coming from, where, like, Luke trained her and Leia trained her as well.
Yeah.
And so, like, she loves kinda, Ben. Apparently. Yeah, apparently she loves Ben. Like, so, like,
Rey Solo.
So, like, that they're kind of, like, the parents that she never had. That they were killed by, I guess, her grandfather. But, like, just being, like, just that whole, this is who I am no matter what you are trying to define me as, I thought would have been more powerful.
Yeah.
And that gold lightsaber was dope.
Yeah. I was kind of, you know, I get the whole fact, you know, the movie is called Rise of Skywalker, but I think I would have been okay even if she just said, I'm just Rey. Like, just again. You know, like, I would have been, I would have been okay with her just saying, like,
owning her identity.
Yeah, just being like, I'm Rey. Yeah. And that's it. Like, you know, I think that would have given me more closure than her saying Skywalker, you know, Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
But the gold lightsaber, my view on it, I think it's obviously, first of all, I think it's dope. I think it's cool. I think it's sick.
And I told you when we first watched it that I was like, I thought that Leia's, when she found Leia's lightsaber, that it was going to be like yellow or gold. That's something, a color that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what she was going to wield, but
that, I think, would have been cool.
If she had, like, a yellow, like, lightsaber we've never seen before.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going
to
happen.
Because that's, like, a big part of this story is, like, oh, shit, Leia used to train. Like, she used to, like, have a lightsaber. And, you know, I guess, Tog, because you've seen the Clone Wars animated series, and I've seen it as well, but it's been a while. Since I had finished it. But my older brother was mentioning that on that show that he has seen people or Jedi wielding yellow or gold lightsabers. Is that true?
So, yeah. So, like, I kind of went on this really big, deep end of, like, Star Wars mythos. So, like, red, or so, like, just going through all the colors, blue is supposed to represent a Jedi who is less intact with the Force and more, like, of wielding, like more combatant, like a warrior, like using more of his physical skills. Green is supposed to represent you're very strong with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So think of Yoda, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
And then red is Sith, obviously, just due to your impurities of like anger and, you know, sorrow being emitting that color. And then you get into the weird ones. So like purple for Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, it's pretty swag, but like,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
But like, it's been on record saying that purple means that even though you're a Jedi and you fight for good, you are also, you use the dark side.
Huh.
Yeah. So like, okay. If you always look at Mace Windu's demeanor, it's very ruthless, but he never gave in to the dark side, but he like dipped his, he always delved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Gold is supposed to, gold and yellow was it's always
balance.
It's supposed to, yeah, it's it was used by like the old like Jedi temple like guardians, and it's supposed to represent balance of both light and dark.
And dark.
Yeah. And then white is supposed to represent like you used to be dark
one.
Side, and then you've removed the impurities, so it becomes a neutral white.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I think that's
again.
So we didn't know that. Like after we saw the yellow, so I was just like, man, we'd never seen yellow before. So I was just like, dude, yellow's got to be balance. Like, cause then
no, it is like because Rey has always struggled with this internal balance, but never gave in.
Yeah.
So it's like pure. Like she knows where to
draw both the sides.
Line. She knows where to draw the line.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So like again, I went on like a bunch of forums, like literally 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Just looking up all this
nerd stuff.
All this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird thing to get into, but
yeah,
like,
I agree.
Yeah, once you get into it, you're kind of like going off the deep end.
Yeah, and I'm sad. You know, I'm sad about in a sense that they're introducing this lightsaber color in this saga, right? They've already introduced it in the animated series from what you're saying, but the saga is just now introducing this gold saber, you know, but it sucks to get, it's the end, right? And so you don't really get more into that whole aspect of what it means and stuff, but you know, you can kind of in a sense understand where that's coming from.
Well, yeah. And I guess, like, if we wanted to move on. Where do you think the series goes from here? Now that the Skywalker saga's end, where do you think they go?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
I think a Finn spinoff potentially, and that other girl spinoff.
Yeah, I thought there was definitely going to be a Finn spinoff for sure.
Well, they definitely set up for that other girl, and I can't remember her character.
She's just a number. Whatever the leader that
the deserter, the leader of the deserters.
Yeah,
I think for the big movies, they go one of two directions. They go into the future after Rey has reestablished a Jedi Order, or they go way far back in time to the Old Republic days, which is like I think 1,000 years before this series takes place. Back in the Old Republic, when the Sith were very powerful, and it's very much Sith versus Jedi. Who we don't really get much of that
in this one.
In this entire saga. It's most likely it's always Alliance versus Rebellions, and they have one Jedi and one Sith, you know?
Yeah.
But the Sith as an entire warrior group and Jedi's entire warrior group going at it back in like the Old Republic days, I think that would be a cool story to flesh out, because I know the fans have wanted that. Mm-hmm. But I can also see them going forward, because even though they ended the Skywalker saga, they left it very much open that you could do something else with it.
Like with the burying the two lightsabers.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So like where they go, they could possibly go somewhere in the distant, in the distant future.
Yeah. So I think for sure I would definitely like to go back to the Old Republic. I think that would be sweet. You know, everybody is always saying we need more lightsaber battles. We need more lightsaber fights. And, especially in the 4, 5, and 6, right? They don't really have a whole lot of lightsaber battles in that kind of sequence or trilogy. And then 1, 2, and 3, they add them a little bit more. You know, the choreography of those fights are a little bit more in depth. We don't really get that here in 7, 8, and 9 because really it's just Rey and Kylo. But I think that would be a really cool aspect and different look into Star Wars.
Because like one thing that we're always taught in all these Star Wars movies, the Jedi were these powerful group of warriors. They always fended off the Sith, but you never ever see that. Like you say you like the Clone Wars, you like that period of time when the Jedi were still very established.
Mm-hmm.
I think Old Republic is like in their prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is like when they are truly like, there's no other armies. It's literally Jedi versus Sith.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good versus evil. Like with the Skywalker saga, it's a bit political.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, granted, like that was George Lucas's kind of like base on it. It's very political. You have the one hero rise up and the one hero is always.
But that's the whole storyline, right? You don't get the storyline if you have so many different people,
but
right?
But this mythology of all these legendary Sith lords and all these legendary Jedis could be fleshed out so much more. And that's honestly what a lot of people want to see.
The action and everything. Yeah.
I agree. Because I feel like if they go, I'm calling it the New Order in a sense of if we go into the future after this time period. I feel like that will still be very political. That'll still be very, not in a sense of the Jedi being in full force versus a similar evil. We had mentioned, Tal and I, when we were coming back, we had mentioned maybe, you know, it's a Jedi force, not as strong as the Old Republic, but a Jedi force in a sense of fighting other sorts of particular types of evil, but none that are like Sith related. Or, you know, like separatist related, like more of like maybe like even the, what do we say, like the Mandalorians?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like fighting this other sort of force that isn't involved really with like the dark side in a sense.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex? What do you feel? And if you had a choice between, you know.
Or do you think it's truly done?
Or like, do you, yeah.
Everything's going to be spin off from here.
I mean, Disney Plus. Yeah, I think it's done, to be honest. I mean, I think there's going to be a spinoff with Finn, honestly. But other than that, I don't really see it going anywhere else.
They're
going
to go more like expanded universe, like off stories like the Solo movie or like Rogue One.
Like Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Rogue One is beautiful. That's easily one of my top favorite Star Wars movies of all time.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah,
agreed. Rogue One's probably my favorite Star Wars.
If anything, I see it going back into the future, like y'all said, but I don't see it going ahead.
I could see Rey getting her own, like, just after this all has gone down, like, with the yellow lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, technically, like they said, Skywalker saga is over. Like, she's not actually a Skywalker. So, like, she could have her own stories and her own, like, You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to have to be more stuff coming out in Disney Plus as far as spinoffs, right? I mean, they said that they're not going to be making any Star Wars movies, like big blockbuster movies, here in the next couple, 2-3 years, maybe even 4 years. They're kind of done making movies in a sense. But they're, I mean, you can't just say, oh, well, we're going to stop making movies and then stop giving you Star Wars in general.
Yeah.
They're obviously
that's
doing,
missing out on money.
Yeah.
Well, that's one, besides Marvel, that's their biggest cash cow.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, for them giving us The Mandalorian, but then I heard it's only like 10 episodes. What do we have, you know, coming after that? You know,
yeah,
with, so
yeah.
So it's like there's gonna be stuff, and there's obviously stuff already in the pipeline. There's gotta be,
yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, because shows like Mandalorian with such great production and budget, once it's done, they need at least 2 years to write, film, get, you know, to get it to that caliber. If they want to keep it consistent, because like a lot of these Netflix shows, like look at Stranger Things, like. It's like 3 years.
Unless it's just year-round filming,
yeah.
Right? Unless they do it like a true television show where it's like, okay, we're done with season one, but guess what? Next week, we're starting season two.
But they have too many high-profile actors to make it year-round.
Yeah.
Like you have Pedro Pascal who plays The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
That dude's on the come up right now.
Yeah.
After Narcos, like...
Yeah.
He is like in every... He'll be in Wonder Woman, like the new one. Like,
oh, yeah. He's a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman?
He's just showing up everywhere. 84
or whatever?
Carl Weathers, who plays that, you know, the guild member. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it would be so stupid for them to just end on this movie, make Mandalorian, have us wait 2 years before they produce any other Star Wars content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense.
They got something big.
And they're losing out on money and on revenue. So there's definitely something in the pipeline. There's definitely something that's going to be coming. It has to be coming in the next year. And so I'm excited to see where they decide to go with that. Obviously that they set up something with the leader of the deserters in Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Whether it's him or whether it's maybe another actor that they bring in to play him because of his age or whatever. You know, we'll see, but he looked pretty healthy, and hopefully he stays healthy because he's the last, other than Luke Hamill, but he's dead. But he's the last of really the core Star Wars.
That's alive.
Original trilogy. Chewbacca. That's alive.
Did Harrison Ford die?
Well, he's dead in
Ben
the series.
Solo killed him off, dude.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were talking about the actors.
No, we're talking about just in overall.
Good, because like, you said
yeah.
The Luke's actor name.
Luke Hamill.
Who'd you say?
What's his name?
Mark Hamill.
Yeah. I said Luke Hamill, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
But yeah, in a sense of being still alive in as a part of the Star Wars series, you know, Lando is the only one that's still with us. So
yeah.
You know, I think he's going to be involved hopefully with a spinoff, and that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Man, that was good. I enjoyed this
whole discussion.
I thought, you know, we all I think love Star Wars in a sense. Of it being a part of our lives growing up, and you know, going and watching this movie, I feel better about the movie now that I've talked it out and kind of given my
just watch it for what it is.
Do not try
to put it up to any other movie. Just watch it to what it is, and it's gonna be a good film.
And also to a lot of the older heads who are like saying, "Oh, this is trash compared to what I got back in like '84." With remember. They are making these movies to draw new interest into Star Wars. So, like, they're going to do things that attract a population now compared to when you were a kid and you got into it. So, like, it's different overall. The movies might be of different qualities, but they hold the same story, the same...
concepts.
Themes and concepts. So, if you're already a Star Wars fan, you should just generally... Go watch it for what it is, which is a Star Wars movie.
Don't compare
it. And be excited. Don't compare it to what you grew up like. I'm not going out there telling people that Revenge of the Sith is the best Star Wars movie, but it's my favorite because I grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go into it with a positive attitude and you should come out with a good time.
Yeah. Which I assume you guys want to rank them before we close off.
I was gonna, but I have a quick one. You want to go first or do you know yours?
You go.
5, 3, 6, 4, 7, 9, 7,
2-1-8.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go. My favorite, as I just said, Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. I hold that to very high regard. Just when I was young, that's what drew. That's what took me from liking
to loving
to freaking love. Like that's what prompted me to watch 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'll fully admit, I've watched the prequel trilogy first.
Before 4, 5.
Yeah.
Same. So,
3. Then I'll go A New Hope, 4.
Really?
Empire, 5. Return, in that order. Yeah. 3, 4, 5, 6. Then I'll go 7, 2, 1, 8. And then above all, like, right, I would actually place...
9 after 7.
Rogue One.
Oh, we're doing Rogue?
I would place it either a tie with my favorite with Revenge of the Sith.
I agree.
Or second. Over, if I had to rate all the Star Wars movies, but I'm just sticking to the main trilogy. I'm just saying, I hold Rogue One to a very high regard. I love that movie.
What about Solo?
Huh?
What about Solo?
I was going to say Solo. Solo
is good. Solo, I would say, is better than Force Awakens, but not better than like 4, 5, 6.
Did you put 9 in that list?
I think you missed.
Oh, I missed 9. 9. Yeah. 9. So
nine
it goes,
would have been
9 after 7. So it goes 3.
That's kind of the subject.
So it goes, yeah, it goes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 2, 1, 8.
Yeah.
2,
1, 8. Okay.
So I put, like I said, I stick to what I said. Force Awakens probably the best of this trilogy.
Yeah. I know. I think this one was the best, but I mean, I like 7.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay,
give it a shot.
Okay, I haven't seen 4, 5, and 6 enough to have an opinion on rating-wise, okay. To be honest. I've only seen each of them, like, once.
Okay.
I have a Disney Plus account. You can definitely log on it.
I mean, no, I have one. I can watch all of them. But...
You can do that.
You're not going to go.
I mean...
What were your top 3?
My top 3 of all time?
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
Just the episodes, though.
Definitely episode 3. Or,
yes. Revenge of the Sith. Okay.
Yes. That's probably the first one.
Okay, number 2.
Okay.
Force Awakens.
You've got 8 other episodes that you can choose from.
No. Force Awakens. I love that one. I don't know why. I just love it a lot.
Okay.
3, I love 7. Kylo Ren and I love Rey a lot.
Rey's probably my biggest crush in that series in my entire life. She's
low-key jealous. Yeah. Adam Driver got to kiss her.
She is amazing.
I love her.
In every sense of the
oh
word.
My god. I don't want to say. I don't want to say one because y'all are gonna roast me. But I have a nostalgia with that one, with like baby Anakin. He's so cute.
Hey,
like,
there's no judgment here.
I love
you. Liked one. They made it obviously, right? So like, they made a second and a third, so it did well enough for them to keep the story going.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you like one, you like one.
You like one.
I love C-3PO. I love baby Anakin. I love and I love Jar Jar Binks.
Racist.
You like Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks is really cool. Like,
man, you don't hear that often though.
For Halloween, I had a mask of Jar Jar Binks when I was like 5.
Man, all right. I respect it.
And
I respect
so,
it.
Man,
yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I might even get judged a little bit
it's
here,
okay.
And I'm proud of my selections.
I think he's putting 2 at the top.
I am gonna put 2 at the top. I really do like 2 for the reasons that we had previously discussed. I think it's 2 for me. 2, 3. 2, 3, 5, 4, 6. And
so
then
1 in the new ones.
Yeah. 2, 3, 5, 4, 6. No, 7, 9, 8, 1.
You like The Last Jedi over Phantom Menace. I think The Last Jedi is by far the worst.
Yeah, it's last.
I don't know. I think it's because I like the newness of it more. Phantom Menace was just hard for me.
But you get Darth Maul. Darth Maul's your favorite Sith person.
That's yes, true. But I don't get him enough.
Duel of Fate song with Qui-Gon.
Really?
Dude, that gets me a happy thinking about
I think those last two are very close to each other for me.
Yeah.
Rogue One, I think, fits in at like the top 2.
It's one of the top for me.
And then Solo, you know, I thought it was an okay movie. I think Solo is like in the middle somewhere. Yeah.
But Rogue
maybe One. Top end.
Rogue middle. One is by far up there. Like Rogue One was amazing. An amazing movie.
It's you know how so we good. Feel about people that die at the very end.
Oh, we love
Nick a and I tragedy, love a tragic ending.
Yeah. Oh my God. We think it's
for a greater
so
cause.
For a greater cause.
For a greater cause.
And it makes it that much better.
Because they started off as all, except for that one, the blind guy, they all started off as greedy characters banded together to, you know.
Yeah.
And then they die for a greater cause. And, dude, that one line in the trailer, or the one line, rebellions were built on hope.
Rebellions are built off hope.
Dude, yeah. I love that line, dude.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
great. It's great.
Yeah.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That is just, it's just an amazing film.
Master Skywalker, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have our ranks on the movies. I think a saga completed. And you know we are very excited for the future of Star Wars and where it goes from here. We are sad to see this storyline end, but guys,
thanks for coming here.
Yes, thank you for
spending us time.
Yes, for listening to this episode again, episode 8, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker here on Reel It In. Guys, go follow us if you haven't already. On Twitter at Reel It In Podcasts and on Instagram at Reel It In Podcasts with underscores in between the words. I'd like to thank our guests, Mr. Todd Dow and Alex Nance. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for being
guys.
Here, guys.
I appreciate it.
Go and smash that subscribe button.
I didn't want my
Oh, wow. Wow.
That was a lot.
But anyway, guys, again, thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
This will be the end of season one here at Reel It In. We'll see you for season two next year in 2020. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you later.
Justice for Kelly Marie Tran.
Oh my God.
See you, guys.